three ball from CG43. They're in front.
This is flat out ridiculous.
From a beautiful left hand, in and out finish, the old fashioned way.
Newell gets to the basket with one to come. From there again. You have got to be kidding me. Tyson Stiff.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the NBL Pocket Podcast. Sunday, 5th of February. It's about, it's about 11 o'clock at night. Andrew's here. Joseph Corr here. We're going to be chatting about everything we've just seen. We've really just come off this Perth win over Sydney by the requisite 11 points plus, and then the Melbourne win, but that doesn't matter. Boy, oh boy. Andrew Canyon, we're going to really jump around here. This is going to pinball with topics, but here we are. And Andrew, how are you?
I'm well, thanks, Joe. It's nice to be back in the studio. Yeah. I hope people are enjoying and appreciating the high quality audio that we can once again deliver. Just want to say thanks to everybody who did turn up for the NBL podcast live event. It was a lot of fun. And I think, yeah, if you're able to listen to the show with the Sport Blokes, hopefully, even if the audio quality was not to your liking, hopefully you could feel the energy in the room and still enjoyed and appreciated what we did, because it was a lot of fun.
And, you know, big thank you to the club and the league. Huge help. I was hoping for one well wish. Just like we're not going to give you any money. We're not even going to do it publicly, but pat on the back. Good for doing. Nope. No need. So
entirely unofficial.
Entirely unofficial. So I haven't bought an NBL ticket in 2 years, and I don't plan to play that street. Anyway, I'm being
on the bright side. I think our attendance at that event, I think we certainly did outpace the attendance at the official Wildcats event held for the same game at the same time at a venue that was not quite as salubrious as ours.
I hope that we start a trend of this NBL in sort of boutique theatres. I think it's a really good idea. And if I know the NBL, when they hear a good idea, they know. This 2 minutes in, we're already cancelled. Let's talk about Melbourne-Adelaide. Yep. Melbourne beat Adelaide. Really good game. Did you watch it?
I did, yeah. I watched the second half. I wasn't able to tune in for the first. See, I saw the score at halftime. I was like, oh, hello. This is a high-scoring affair. So watched the second half. Really enjoyed it. It's a fun game.
I was a bit worried. Golding was chasing early, but Rajon Tucker. Honestly, the question I had coming out from this game is Rajon Tucker one of the best 10 players in the NBL? I say yes.
I've come around on him. Yeah. He's really improved a lot from what he showed earlier in the season. Mm. He's got the full package at this point, right? Mm. He's hitting the three ball. He's attacking the rim, playing a bit of defense. And he seems to have sort of chilled his personality traits a little at the same time. Mm. So what are you laughing at?
I'm not laughing at that. No, I agree. I was just going to say he is so strong. Guys ricochet off him. When he goes at the basket, guys just bounce right off him. It's actually quite incredible. So I really hope he comes back. I doubt he will. In fact, I guarantee he probably won't. But he is a guy who showed real steady improvement through the year and put up. Go and look at his stats. I mean, not that the stats are everything, but he actually inconsistent early. And then after a time, he was putting up big, high efficient games. Big Tucker fan by the end of the season. Yeah.
Do you know who I hope comes back? I hope Marcus Lee comes back.
Oh, good call.
I really like him. And I think, I don't know what deal the Melbourne United have with Isaac Humphries, but I would be looking to exit that deal and go all in on Marcus Lee and just run him for 30 minutes a game and small ball for the rest. And
I love it. And he got hurt in this game and went to the bench with a cut eye, I want to say. And the plus-minus was bad with him off the floor for Melbourne, very bad. It's just Peatling and Humphries offer no mobility, no movement, no speed. Peatling a little less so, but, yeah, Humphries made some errors. I was just like, wow. This guy made NBA. I was just
– yep.
So what I'm saying is people – Dream the height of a dreamer. You can make it. You can do it.
I told you we're going to – you said it. We're pinballing around, so I keep interrupting you now because I want to say, speaking of Peatling, is there a guy in the NBL that's been dunked on more than Mason Peatling?
Him and Humphries, and bless them because they do contend shots, but they are slam dunk fodder. They are just
– He just got absolutely baptized today. Mm.
Wow. They've been on more posters than Farrah Fawcett. People over 50,
I was going to say, nobody gets that reference, man. What's a poster? Is that like something on the phone?
That was the thing. I thought I may as well go really retro because if I went like Sarah Michelle Gellar, it's still dated. It's still dated. Listen, anyway, going the other side of the coin, Adelaide, I gave up about 50 offensive rebounds in the last 3 minutes. Unbelievably bad from them.
Yeah,
but they were. This is where I thought they'd be, just off the play-in of playoffs, whatever you want to call it, in, off, in, out, whatever. They were what they were, and when they needed some composure, they had absolutely zero. McCarron seemed resentful at the end of the game; didn't want to be on the floor. I didn't really see him, to be fair. What do you think, Adelaide?
Yeah, they were pretty ordinary, weren't they? It was Perth-esque in the way they rebounded the ball.
Wow,
very, very poor. The only thing they had going for them was Cleveland was having himself a game.
But or was he ever?
You got Robert Franks, who was missing bunnies and putbacks, and just ineffectual. When you're having to rely on like Sunday Desh to be your second weapon, you've got some problems. Now, bless Sunday, and certainly bless his brother Solomon, who was a guest at the recent live event, player agent Solomon Desh. If you're a player looking for representation, jump on board. Mm-hmm. But no, Sunday was excellent, but he can't be the second best player on a, you're not contending if that's the case.
Yeah, Adelaide. DJ, have we seen the last of Daniel Johnson?
Good question.
35 turning 36. He'll be 36 turning 37 next season. You know, fell out of the rotation at times, certainly diminished role in the rotation, gave up that really bad tech foul, I want to say at halftime.
Yeah.
Didn't result in points, but just showed, I don't care, you know, I'm not getting – a little bit to me was he was walking off, he's like, I'm upset. Yeah, it's a close game. Playoffs are a bit of a distance, but potentially we could do it. But he just thought, nah, I'm angry, give up a tech, I don't care. I didn't like the look of it, and it just showed his frustration from the season he's had and – unfortunately, probably the career trajectory.
Yeah, it really does feel like he's fallen off a cliff, doesn't it? Mm. Just seems like this season the game has passed him by.
Maybe a bit of CJ just lost confidence in him, I think, as well. But maybe the two are in a marriage, maybe.
Maybe Daniel Johnson's return or not return will depend on whether CJ Bruton returns.
Well, that's the wider question, and then we'll move on from this one. Adelaide, most unimpressive, disappointing team in the NBL, or is it Brisbane? It's one of the two. Or is it Melbourne? Melbourne are out.
Yeah, I feel like Melbourne actually are a good news story. I think they've really improved. So I'm not going to give it to them.
They were well behind in the standings and then won a whole bunch in the end of the year. I thought, if Ilya had played all year, they were definitely not only in the play-in but a contender. Sorry, I interrupted though.
No, it's all right. I think Adelaide is the most disappointing. So Brisbane, I was sucked in by them, but it really was fool's gold. If you look at the roster, it wasn't really there.
And this once Adelaide they hit team, the floor too, it wasn't like, oh, they had a couple of good games and, oh, flashy. They were crap from the get-go. Yep, sorry.
But this Adelaide team, they beat an NBA team in preseason.
Yeah, good.
They had all the – they had the big money spent on imports. They went after Robert Franks hard, got him. They failed on Randall, but then brought in championship winner Clark. They were all in.
Yeah, true.
And now they're all out. So big failure.
CJ comes back or not? What would you do? You're Grant Kelly. You got the money. Are you going Siege? Let's do it all again. Or are you saying it's been 2 years? No, thank you.
I'd sack him.
Yeah, I
love him. Don't get me wrong. I love CJ. Beautiful bloke. Like, but I think it just doesn't seem to work.
No, they just didn't. But then CJ really. They're almost identical coaches. Played at a similar time as well back in the NBL. Mm. So. I don't know. Yeah, no. If he's not under contract, but that team just burnt through coaches. Who has Adelaide got left to recruit? I mean, burnt Connor, burnt Joey, burnt CJ, soon to be probably. It's just like, oh god, who's left?
They need to find an experienced guy, somebody that has runs on the board. No more of this sort of experimental first year coaches, retreads. Find a guy that is known quality in the NBL, and get that guy.
Agreed. Let's move on from there. Perth-Sydney. We watched this one. Perth won. All that matters is they won by 12 points over the 11.5. They made the play-in, which means Melbourne sit out. What do you think?
That was an awesome game to watch. Just incredible fun. Yeah, yeah.
Best doubleheader of the year by far. It was great.
Oh, yeah. And just so every player was impactful because everybody knew the score. It's interesting. I just finished watching the John Riley press conference, and he and Luke Travers were saying, "Nah, we didn't know that. We didn't know the splits." And
BS.
Come on now. They knew the splits. Don't give me that. Why would you even pretend otherwise?
Tell the people at home. Really was wearing like a Ted or Tad Lasso t-shirt. I don't know this show. Do you know it? What was he? What was the vibe?
Yeah, to Ted Lasso. Believe is the word. He's the coach from the Apple TV show. Mm-hmm. At Ted Lasso. Really good show. You should watch it. But yeah, he takes it. You know, it's the misfit band of.
Okay. Right.
Yeah. Players that have been poor performers, and he encourages them to believe, and they make, you know, they have success, both personal and professional, you know.
So. So the storylines come together. Yep. Yeah, I haven't seen the show, but the Wildcats are in. I really can't believe that they're in. I thought Sydney were going to go a little bit harder than they did. Sitting Walton, Cooks kind of sat a fair bit as well.
Yep.
Yeah, and they came one shot close, and Perth, boy, oh boy, got real tight. 20-point lead, and they got real tight.
Yep.
But they're in. They're in. Travers, I was slagging him off all week, and he had a huge game, and they're in. Moving on from that, so I don't think we really have much more to say. I mean, Perth are there. Now what happens is in the play-in, so South East Melbourne are going to host Perth in Melbourne, and the winner of that game, it's a best of one. Yep. And the winner plays Sydney in, you know, what is essentially the first round of the playoffs. Perth versus Southeast Melbourne in Melbourne. Who you got?
Do you know what? This is shaking out really well for Perth, I think. Mm. I like them for this game.
Oh, why?
Well, Southeast Melbourne, you're not going to have Ryan Brokoff. Not going to have Brokoff. Mm-hmm. They are, he was the guy that did the damage against them last time they played. They're going to be leaning on Ruben Tarangi. I'm thinking Luke Travers might have another night out.
Do you know who I think? Well, against Creek, I don't know who takes Creek, but I'll say this. Do you know who I think the game hinges upon?
What's that?
Carl Adnam.
Come on now.
Well, really? Let me explain. Whoa. He's had some big game. He normally does pretty well out of pick and roll if guys kind of do the drops and whatever, and he's pretty fearless coming off that. He's had big games against Melbourne. He's had some big games against Perth. Didn't he have a big game against Perth at the start of the
year? Yeah, I feel like he did, actually. Yeah.
I can't really remember. I should have probably done some what they call research, but
we're loosey-goosey then. Vibe,
baby. It's all just I don't know what that meant, but I'll blur that. But I just feel like he's the guy, and he's had a string of dreadful games, you know, like 2, 4, 3, 5 points, nothing. So, and if you're relying on him, I don't like it. Does being in Melbourne, Southeast Melbourne in Melbourne, talk to Melbourne about Melbourne, does that move the cursor for you at all?
It doesn't for me. I think the Perth tend to play pretty well in Melbourne. It's an easy place to get to. What's the flight from here? Like 3.5, 4 hours from Perth.
It's good going there, but not on the way back, I want to say.
Yeah, I think so. That's about as best you can get if you're flying out Perth. Mm-hmm. Good venue. I don't think that place holds any fears for them. And I just think that maybe the cards are shaken out for Perth after being kind of ordinary all season. They're at least going to perhaps get through this first round. And Southeast Melbourne might be looking at another year of failure.
It would be very Southeast Melbourne to fall at this hurdle. Let's just be honest. Who do you think Sydney will be sitting watching going, oh, we'd like to see Southeast Melbourne or Perth prevail? Who do they want to face?
I think they – oh, God, there's so many storylines there, right? I think they'd prefer to take Southeast Melbourne, actually.
Really?
Perth, yeah, I think Perth's got them got them twice now.
It has the 2-1 series lead, this is right. And but without Walton Perth, today, I don't put a lot in. Like, that's their second best player.
Yeah, I know, but Perth is the only team that could potentially beat Sydney at its own game.
I mean, they've got Cotton, right? Cotton can go off for 30 points at 60% and it's over.
Yep.
I agree. But, gee, the refs this year seem to be very, very happy to let Cotton get smacked around. Wow.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
I think Sydney would prefer Perth, though.
Okay. Yeah.
I
can appreciate that as well. I'm not wedded to the idea that they would prefer to play Phoenix. You can see.
Let's jump over.
They should be fine to play anybody because they should beat them.
I agree. Both teams, I don't think, would scare Sydney particularly much, but I think just at a squeeze, they'd prefer Perth to get through. I'm thinking South East Melbourne the better opponent. Going the other way, Cairns are hosting Tasmania. Winner of this goes on to play New Zealand. This is going to be who's going to Cairns, Tasmania. Who's winning that one? Cairns.
And it's all thrown away. The players have fallen injured, you know. So Cairns have lost Keanu Pinder. Jack Jumpers have lost Majet. So
that's certain they've lost him?
Yeah. So it looks like he's broken his eye socket.
So who replaces it? I mean, that's the thing. Who replaces Majet? Weeks?
I guess it's a bit of Weeks and more minutes for McDonald, perhaps. It gets a bit shaky, doesn't it?
Yeah. Especially when we've got to remember, Majet is like a mixture of Steve Nash, Magic Johnson, Phil Smythe, Bob Cousy, and fucking someone else, according to Scott Roth. So they've lost a lot. But the thing, and this is the first game he's missed, I want to say, in his career.
Could well be right.
And he's Cairns have had a long time without Pinder to get used to it. So who do you like?
So I'm liking Cairns in this one.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I think they might get it done. It is just the seeding one, that one. So loser is not eliminated, correct? So they push on and have another chance.
Who do they have it? David, who do they play? The loser of the winner of South East Melbourne and Perth?
Yes, I believe so. I don't have a little diagram. I'm trying to read the... Why don't the NBL just give us a nice little diagram? Why have they just given it in text?
I need visual aids.
I know.
I need aids of the visual variety, NBL. Give me them. Unprotected. Anyway. I don't know how it all works, but so that's what happened. So the losers of these two games will play each other?
The loser of Perth's Phoenix are out.
Is out.
Then the winner of that game plays the loser of the other game, and the winner advances.
That can't be right, because then who does Sydney play?
They don't. They just pass on through to the next round.
You're talking crazy.
Why has the NBL not got their diagram sorted out? Anyway,
I thought
by the time you're listening to this, it'll be all over the place.
You know what? Whatever. Okay, whatever. Most of you people don't even pay for this, okay? You're thieves. You're getting them for free. Whatever we give you, what I got, you got to get and put it in you. Anyway, that'll all make sense. Who you got as a title favorite?
It's still Sydney's to lose. They're still well ahead of the pack, I think. And I think with these injuries are really unfortunate.
It's brutal. Everyone else but them is hurt. Perth, sucks. Ty Webster kind of hurt, took a tumble in this latest game, does not look himself. Majet, we just spoke about, Pinder out. South East Melbourne have been banged up all year, broke off.
Yep. It really sucks. So, maybe the Kings will get an injury and it can all even out again.
You can't say that out loud. It's terrible thing to say. Kings look good, though. They look really, really good. That's enough for the games. Let's go on to the awards. I don't suppose you've got the readout of the Gazies there by any chance, do you?
Hang on. Give me a
minute. Entertain the masses while I the Gazies. Oh no, navigating the NBL website. I typed something into the search bar. It's just logos. Oh dearie me.
I'm scrolling the past news.
Latest news. Crossover United. Oh man,
this is riveting, isn't it? For all the people listening,
this is not our fault. Injury updates. Oh come on!
This should be like a little sub website, you know. That is.
This is. I mean, we could. Truth be told, we could have done a little bit more prior to recording, but
we've been busy. So
there's nothing really on busy. The latest news show. I don't think we're asking for too much to have this really available. Hang on, I'm just going to do a good old-fashioned Google search. NBL award nominees.
Gosh, I'm back. I'm down to like...
All right, here we go. I got it.
Thank goodness. Far out. All right. Oh, I found MVP. Right, hey, got it. I scrolled down. Okay, I've got it in front of me too.
Woo-hoo. Coach, I'll say it out loud. I'll say the award. You say who you've got in your head, and if there's any discrepancy between us, we'll discuss it. And if not, just move right on. Coach of the year, Buford, Ford, or Mayor?
You want me to say it? Is that what you said?
Yeah, who you got?
Because you said just say it in my head.
Oh, I say it out loud now.
I've given it to Modi Mayor.
Really? I'm going Buford.
Okay.
Chet. I'm going Chet.
Good on Chet.
Best team in the league. They've looked good. they've been talented, but, you know, to lose players and to integrate new players and get a lot out of guys, like they got a lot out of Noi this year. I didn't think there was that. And Cooks has gone to another level. These things just don't – a coach can so easily stand in the way of these players, and I feel like Buford's just let good players play, and as a result, they're really ahead of the pack on the ladder. Yep. You say Mayor, why?
Yeah, I mean, I think seeing the turnaround that he's enabled New Zealand to have, all that time away from home, then they come back, they retool the roster, he gets them all bought in, and I think he's just done a great job, really motivating the team. Seems like they've really bought into his system, and so I think he's just a really good coach, and more than what I expected. So I just thought he was a crazy hype man.
Yeah, but no, right.
Modi has really shown another side, and so I commend him for that too. But yeah. I think any of these guys are worthy winners.
Oh man, Ford loses the best player in Pinder, and they win more games than they lose. Like that's a really tough one. I'll ask this question: who do you think's going to win it?
Buford.
Yeah, I agree. Most improved player: McDonald, Pinder, McDowell, White. Who you got?
This is kind of tough because Pinder's missed a few games, but I'm going to go with him anyway.
You would agree? I actually think it's out of the bottom two: Pinder and McDowell White. I'm going with Pinder as well. We both agree. Let's just move on.
Move on.
Sixth man of the year. Sorry, I've knocked my headphones out of my ear. Hey, Barry Brown, Rashad Kelly, Johnson. I'm going with Brown. I think it's obvious.
Yep, so am I. It is obvious.
Damian Martin, best defensive player. Cleveland, Illy, Pardon. This is a bit tough. Who are you going with?
Yeah, I'm going with Justin Simon.
You know what? Let's leave it at that. Move on. Next Generation Award presented by Champion, the good people at Champion. Apparel of the NBL. Sam Froling, Travers Wardenburg.
Tough one. Obviously, the controversial award here.
Yeah, very.
I am actually going to go with Wardenburg.
Yeah, sure. I'm actually going with the fourth option, which is rename this award to the Who Gives a Shit? No. yeah, Wardenburg. Why not? Let's go to the main ones. Who's been Ref of the Year? They do give such an award.
Ref of the Year, all right.
Yeah, one of the system. Well, Mike Raylan or Vaughn Mabry takes
it. It's really one of those two, isn't it? Or would Nico Fernandez get a look in yet?
Hello, can I have it? No, okay. MVP finalists: Cotton, Creek, Cooks. Who's your MVP?
Look, I made a compelling case for Bryce Cotton at the live event.
As did I.
But it's going to be Cooks.
You're saying it should be Cooks or it will be Cooks?
It will be Cooks. If I had to vote, I would put down Bryce Cotton.
Yeah, as would I.
But it's going to be Cooks.
I agree. I agree with everything you've said, but I do want to, although we've agreed, I want to discuss it. Cotton, the case is pretty clear. I just feel like his second and third best player is way worse than what Cooks is working with. Team in flux. I know they're only sixth, but he's had some big games too. And luckily this game most recently doesn't count for him, but
yeah,
he's still the best. And I think there's a little bit of taking for grantedness. Now you say it's going to be Cooks. Why do you say that?
Oh, I think there's such a strong narrative around it. You know,
I'm a bit shocked.
They want the Australian guy. That yeah, it's big market team that's trying to really establish itself. But what I want to say about Bryce Cotton is that every team scouts Perth, and it's all about how do we stop Bryce.
Yeah, totally.
And that's every scheme is based around stopping Bryce. If you're playing Sydney, you don't scheme everything defensively around how to stop Cooks.
Well, it's easy to stop Cooks. Just foul him and put him on the line. He can't shoot free throws.
Yeah. So I just think – but I think Cooks will definitely win because – he's got that all-round game. He is very dynamic. Like, he's a unique skill set in the NBL.
I don't want to sound like I'm hating on the guys. He had a really good year. It was not easy to pick Cotton, but still did. He's had a hell of a year. Talk about the narrative. I'm shocked at the level of narrative around, it's Cooks. And, you know, people I saw recently, Homicide's like, Cooks, what a game. And then the agent, Moldovan's like, that photo's old. Update that. You know, I'm like, whoa, you can't even praise the guy without getting shit for it. So there's a strong push. And I don't know what to say. I've never really seen that before. It's a little bit peculiar to my taste. What do you think?
It is. Yeah, I think you're right. I'm going to change the subject just very slightly. I know we're loosey-goosey on this episode, so I can do this. When you're talking, Joe, you're banging something. We're getting some audio feedback through the sounds like you're being really emphatic.
Oh, no.
It's all right. Okay. I've only just noticed it. You may have been doing it the whole time, but I just noticed
I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that. I tell you what, people listening, bill me for the damages. How about that? I got an attitude to that. I'm sorry.
You're a professional production and you're just clunking around, making, I don't know what you're doing.
I'm sorry. Yeah, apologies about that. Yeah, I think Cooks, the narrative's strong. And then the other narrative is around Travers. 3-point percentage. All of a sudden, this came this huge talking point on Twitter. It's like, was anyone talking about this? Did anyone care? And it's this huge talking point. So I'd say those two are making a big push for NBA contracts in the year, and you know, next generation medal would look good, and MVP medal would look very good. So I think there's a commercial element to these ones that we haven't seen in the past, perhaps.
You're right. I'm just looking at some stats on Luke Travers. I've just got a Spatial Jam. Unfortunately, it hasn't been updated for the last two games. Mm. Maybe they cancel each other out. Luke Travers, 40% from three-point range on the season after 26 games. I don't know what he's up to now. Wow, that's incredible.
He's
a weapon.
Apparently. I don't know. Not from what I saw, but... Travis, what do you think? NBA, he's drafted by the NBA. Is this guy going to play in the NBA, do you think?
I can't see it. He's just too weak.
Oh, weak. Meek.
Yeah.
Blasé. Like, there's just, I don't see it.
He seems like, he's like vanilla ice cream, you know? And if you're going to have vanilla ice cream, you want at least a few choc chips. And he's just not delivering the choc chips. It's like he's just vanilla ice cream. I think he's a really awesome NBL player. He could be a career NBL, like,
sure.
Sort of Tom Abercrombie style, just a guy that lives in this league, does great things over a long period of time. But I just don't see the NBA. But I've been wrong before, my friend. Just once or twice I've been wrong before.
It's the sort of, I'm going to use the word lame. It's the lame dunks for me. And it just seems like, here's the problem. Under Gleason, huge motor. I was like, wow, this kid's covering the court. He's crazy. He's got his lane and he's staying in it and he's dunking and whatever else. Gleason leaves. Mr. Engine, you know, bark, bark, bark. You make a mistake, he's on you. You know, he is, you don't need to really get up for games because he's already gotten up for you. And then newer coaches come in and I just don't see the same level of, I don't want to say fire, but attention to detail. And attention to domination. I don't see that at all. And the NBA is not going to wait around. They're not going to, you know, in a second round pick, they're not going to wait for you to acquire that. They don't care enough. They're going to chew you up, spit you out if you're not totally committed. So I just, for me, I don't get it. The other one, talking about the NBA and everything, Soto. Soto's already left Adelaide, played a minute and 45 seconds in the last game. He's out. He's had enough of CJ.
Yep.
Soto, it all ends for him here. How would you categorize... Last topic of the day, how would you categorize him?
I think he's been a bit of a bust. Don't come at me, Filipinos. You know,
I'll
like
come at us. Who cares?
I think there's no way he's going to the NBA, that's for sure.
I don't see it at all.
He's got the Matt Hodgson's about him.
Oh, in what way?
Just very long. Sort of the lure of potential.
Yep.
Yeah, and just always being left wanting.
The body's just not there. His endurance is poor. His speed, he's glacial.
Yep.
Gets bumped around. No, I don't see it in the NBL, let alone the NBA. I don't see it at all. And he's off. And I get vibes of, have you seen Celtic Pride? You know that movie with Dan Aykroyd? And
oh, yeah.
Where Lurch is like, I make play, I can. The guy's like, I can do it. I get that vibe off Soto where it's like, I can imagine him just being like, Siege, I can start, I can play all game. And everyone's like, no, you can't. You can't do half of what you say you can. And he's like, no, I make hoop dream, I'm fine, start. Not going to happen, pal.
I reckon Kai Soto is going to build a really nice earning career financially, bouncing around Asian leagues.
Oh, and the Philippines. And just... I'd say to him, man, live that life, love that life, play for 20 years over there and make your money and just be the king of the Philippines.
Yeah.
If you set your sight on that, you could do well. But beyond that, I don't get it. Man, I think that's all I've really got. I think we butchered that finals play-in. I don't know how it all works.
It's a dumpster fire, isn't it?
I think people will be able to piece together enough of what we've said to kind of form their own opinion.
Look, if you want professionally produced podcast material, you can go to the league. Right, yeah. They're producing so much content. They'll be all over this. Tomorrow they'll release, or whenever, tomorrow, Monday, they'll release
it. It'll be good.
The NBL Today show. It'll give you 10 minutes and they'll explain the ins and outs and how it's all going to work. But you know what? That's more vanilla ice cream.
Mm. Oh, you can't say. I'll just say this on those, you'll never hear the word cuck on those. Here, you'll probably hear it between 10 and 15 times an episode. That's just how it goes. Any other last things on the agenda? Anything to discuss?
I don't think so, but I'm looking forward to the play-in. Just really interesting. It's all sudden death. It's none of this best of three business that we've been, succumbed to over the last however long. It's just one and done. I like it. Let's all the marbles on the table and let's see who wins.
One last thing I want to do, and this, I swear to God, this will be the last of it, but it was a tweet a while back from, I want to say, Matthew Holmby? Holmby? Adelaide fan?
Holmby?
Holmby. We love Matthew with one T. And he had a question, and this is from a while ago that I really meant to address a long time ago, but just remembering it now. He said, and this is what we're going to end on, he said, how does the NBL capitalize on the success? I mean, I watched these two games and I'm like, this league, it should be not necessarily better, it's good. It should be bigger though.
Yeah,
he was like, how – it just seems like we have this conversation all the time and there's always articles put out and they're always flim-flammy and your viewership reach, like what does that term even mean? And it's a lot of talk. It's never actually claws in the dirt and any – it never feels like traction's made year to year until now a little bit. I don't know. Butchering the question, but it's been a good season. How do you build on it into NBL 24?
Mm.
I know I'm putting you on the spot. Do you want to give me – I'll give you my answer. It's a strange answer, but I've covered a bit of the A-League the other day, and the A-League has the little bit of a heads up in the fact that it is played at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, but I suppose the NBL could be played at that time as well. But the NBL is such a better product than the A-League. I'm willing to say that right now. It is, as far as a TV product goes, it is so much more entertaining. It's so much better. The gap between the NBA and the NBL is large. But, it's not that bad. You still get someone like Cotton who could be on an NBA team. There is no one in the A-League who could play Premier League or Serie A, those big leagues. It's just quantum leap between the two. So this product is good. It's a fine TV product and people should care more about it. I feel like most just casual fans should give the NBL 30 minutes a week.
Mm.
My strategy to do it is like, how do you just swap the NBL with the A-League? In terms of broadcast deal and just the little bit of followership, I'm answering a question with a question, but that's what I want to see happen. I just don't know why it hasn't happened.
Okay.
I don't know. What do you think?
Okay. So as you spoke there, I think my answer evolved into my head, and I think we're kind of on the same page here. I'm thinking what they need to do is heavily invest in TV production quality.
Really?
I think that you want to make it so that it pops off the screen. It's something I noticed watching NBA now. It is filmed in like 8K. Is it 4K, 8K? I don't know. It's a lot of Ks that they're using. Like I was watching that game. It was when Patty Mills had his good game. Mm. And I don't know what they'd done to that court and the lighting, but that thing just popped off the screen.
It's amazing. Yeah,
like, I don't know how they do it. You watch the NBL and it's just kind of washed
dusty.
Out. Just, you sort of see the crowd. You can see some fat Perth bloke chugging a beer in the background. It's like, it's not sexy.
Not sexy is the word he's going. Do you hear that, everyone out there? Okay, he's talking sexy.
Like
sex appeal.
Yeah. Like the closest they've got is the Adelaide Stadium and the John Cain Arena. They're the closest you get to looking good on TV.
Even Perth looks a bit shite on TV.
Oh, I hate Perth on TV. It's terrible. Mm. Hate it.
It looks rinky-dink. The court does not look nice. Yeah, doesn't agree.
It's very bad contrast. It's like you can hardly see the rim sometimes. It's blues and there's reds and it's ugly. So I think NBL really key in on your broadcast quality. Ditch the 1080p cameras or 1080i you're probably running with. Get rid of that camera garbage. Get some 4K material and go big on that.
Yeah, I like it. And I'd be pushing towards streaming. I'd be edging away from the Foxtel ESPN deal, perhaps. That's old technology. Foxtel subscribers they can't be on the increase, can they?
Nah, not possibly.
And so be that first sport to be over, like be the first live sport on Netflix. Even if you give your, you know, you don't get the money back in return so much, get the viewership and on there. I mean, Netflix is such a good algorithm and program. It'll push it in front of people, I feel.
Yep.
And the head of Netflix has been very resistant to live sport, but still, maybe I'm dreaming to dream, but I like what you said. It's a good TV product, man. The NBL is good, and I like it. Yeah, geared towards a TV product. Why not?
Look, if you NBL, if you're looking for some additional consulting support, you know where to reach us.
Yeah, yeah.
Joseph Corr, Andrew Kenyon, NBL Podcast.
That's exactly right. Sorry, this is because the federal government is now putting in these quotas where a certain amount of content has to be Australian content.
Yes.
So, NBL, listen, I know you love stealing ideas. Here's another one for you. So, there's quotas on that. So they go to them and say, hey, you need to create all this Australian content. Well, we have a 28-game season per team.
That's a lot of content.
We'll take the whole contract. And then some lazy fat producer's gone, great, my job's done. Back down to Darling Harbour or whatever it is. That's the future. You listen to me, NBL? I know you listen. That's it.
There you go.
Bingo, bango.
Solved another problem, my friend. Sunday night, we've just solved.
This is what we do. This is what we do. We come in, we patch up. Also, play-in. People were like, oh, it's a bit dodgy. It reduces the merit of the regular season. I'm giving it two thumbs. Have you got any reservations?
Yeah, I'm enjoying it. I still don't like the idea of calling it a play-in series. I think it's just an elimination, but, you know, I don't know why that. But whatever floats your boat. It's good. It's fun. It's worked out well. So two thumbs up.
My boat is floated. My sail is full of wind. And
my skirt, to steal the phrase from you, my skirt has been blown up.
Skirt's well and truly blown up. Let's sail away on the friendship. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And if you really liked it, become a patron. And if you didn't like it enough to become a patron, just stop listening altogether.
I say it's just become a patron anyway. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Just become a patron. My idea would be that everyone becomes a patron, but no one listens. That would be, that'd be my dream. No, we're very fond of it. And again, live people, all the people that helped out with that live event, that was fantastic. And a real, just reaching out to all the other clubs and people around those clubs, because you don't need to be the club. Nice little track that you can run on and do it yourself. All right, everyone.
Exactly.
Andrew, let's get out of here. This was fun. 37 minutes. Take it easy. Ciao.
Done. Bye.